Welcome to the program, Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit, with Father Kanice Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello again, my friends and family. We have been talking for some time on the Holy Spirit and on His seven gifts. We've talked about wisdom. We've talked about knowledge. We've talked about understanding. We've talked about courage. We've talked about counsel. We've talked about piety. And in all these talks and in all these different gifts, we brought out the point that every one of them should come into play every day. They are not gifts that should be put on the mantelpiece of your soul or mine. They are gifts that are meant to be used every day of our lives. Whether we consciously refer to them by name is not really important. But the whole purpose of all these talks is to make people aware that the Holy Spirit lives in us, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that He comes with these gifts and He wants to activate them in our daily lives. But you and I freely must call on Him. And the one prayer that I say over and over again is a prayer I hope will mean something to you. Holy Spirit, help us to use your seven gifts. We come now to one of the final gifts, the gift of fear of the Lord. Over the course of centuries and over the course of years and even to present day, a lot of people have a fear of God. They think of God as someone who comes with the mighty power of judgment. And even though there has been 2,000 years since Christ, the gentle one, the one who came with forgiveness and understanding, there is still that nagging fear in the back of people's mind that God gets even, that God punishes. God is often forgotten to be the God of love. And they say, well, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New. The God of the Old Testament was a God of judgment. Not true. The God of the Old Testament was just, and the God of the New Testament is still the same. There's no change in God. God didn't switch off from being a mean ogre before Christ to becoming the gentle God after Christ. There's only one God. And while you and I change every day, He doesn't change. And the reason I bring this out, because I want you to feel at peace with God, no matter what has gone down in your life. And I want you to become comfortable with this gift, fear of the Lord. What does it really mean? Fear that He's going to get even? Fear that He's going to punish me? Oh, yes, He knows everything we've done, the good and the bad. And as I mentioned in one of the other talks, He sees our sins, our failings, our feet of clay, but He always remembers the head of gold. Most of the fear that we have of God comes from within ourselves, not from God Himself. You can read the Old Testament and you will know that the God of the time of the Jews was a God of mercy. The God of the New Testament is a God of mercy. So when you hear the word fear, this is what I want you to think of when it comes to this gift. What does it mean? The best way for me to explain this gift is to tell you a little bit about myself. When I think of fear of the Lord, I don't think of muggings. I don't think of all the other things that happen to us, but that we're afraid of. Being robbed, raped, or murdered, cancer, or all the other things. For me, the best way for me to explain fear of the Lord is to tell this story on myself. I love to drive. That's my great recreation. I love to drive. And I suppose in the trade, I have what is known as a heavy foot. I used to have the heavy foot. I don't go over 55 anymore, but in the old days, I did. And I'd go fireballing down the freeways, and all of a sudden, I'd see a police car. I didn't care where that police car was. It could be parked on the other side, giving a ticket to somebody going the other way. The police car could be at the Howard Johnson's, and the guy inside getting a cup of coffee. Made no difference. Every time I saw a police car, every time I became aware of the police car, parked or moving, if I saw that little cherry top moving down the highway, instinctively I'd look at the speedometer. Then I check, oh yeah, I got my wallet, that means I got my license. I'm on the right side of the road, I'm not too far, not too close, I'm perfect. I put both hands on the wheel, I'd drop the cigarette if I was smoking it, I'd look like a saint. Even if he wasn't looking for me, I was a saint. What am I saying? That's a fear, but it was a different kind of fear. It was an awareness of the presence of the policeman. If I'm aware of the presence of the policeman, no matter where I am, you know what I'll do? Instinctively, I'll keep the law of the road. So fear of the policeman isn't the fear that he's going to be mean or that he's going to give me a ticket. The fear of the policeman really is an awareness of his presence. And then I make the decision, freely make the choice, to keep the law of the road. And I know that if I keep the law of the road, the policeman isn't going to give me a ticket. He's not going to go chasing me. In other words, the presence of the policeman is the key to that kind of fear you have of cherry top. Or of the black and white. And in a very strange way, that's what fear of the Lord is. Not a fear that he's going to come with judgment. Not a fear that he's going to come with punishment. But an awareness of his presence. And that, my dear friends, is the final, most beautiful of what I call the seven gifts. An awareness of the presence of God wherever I am. And let me tell you, if I am aware of the presence of God, wherever I am, in a restaurant, alone in the car, alone in my room, whether I'm walking in the streets, whether I'm downtown New York or downtown LA where I work, or here in Birmingham, Alabama, if I'm aware of his presence, you know what I'll do? I'll love him with my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole mind. And I will love my neighbor as I love myself. I will keep his commandments. I'll keep the law of the Lord. That's if I remember his presence. Conversely, if I forget the presence of the policeman, there's a very good chance I'll fireball a little bit more than 55. Nobody on the road I can see until tomorrow. Good, 75, who cares? Maybe 80. Nobody around. I have forgotten the presence of the policeman. The same thing can happen with you and me when we forget the presence of God wherever we are. You don't break the law of God because you're evil. We don't sin because we're bad. We might call it weakness. I call it an amnesia. Amnesia of the presence of God. we've forgotten that he's here. I've yet to meet a person who's really consciously aware of the presence of God, no matter what the religion is, that will do evil. One time on Wake Island, a Buddhist couple were having a problem. And since I was the only chaplain, they said, would you go down and see what you can do for this couple? They weren't talking to each other. They were mad. They were angry. And so, because they were the Buddhists and they had the problem, I accommodated myself to them. I knocked on the door. I took off my sandals. I bowed to the husband and I bowed to the wife. And I said, do you have a shrine in your house? And the wife said, yes. And we went inside the bedroom, and there on the mantelpiece was a little Buddhist shrine. And with the kind of gifts that people bring to these type of shrine. And along the side of the little shrine were some writings in Japanese. And I said, what are the writings? And the man said, Supreme Buddha is here. And I said then to the couple, if you really believe that the Supreme Buddha is in this room, how can you not be good to each other? Because if you cannot be good to each other, then please take the shrine and put it somewhere else. They understood the point. And we had a very nice reconciliation. When you and I are aware of the presence of God, we'll keep his law, not out of fear, but out of love. When we have the amnesia of the presence of God, there's a good chance we'll break it. Every time I've made a mistake, I can guarantee you it's because I've either neglected to or I forgot that God was with me, around me, and wherever I was. So, fear of the Lord has to do with the presence of God, wherever we are. That's important to remember when you consider the seventh gift. I do not consider it something to be terrified of. I like having God around, and I like being conscious of God. Now, there's one other little area that helps me remember where God is. You see, I know what God looks like. He looks like you. Not because I said it, but because Christ said it. Whatever he said, you do to one of these, you do to me. And so when I say to you, I love you, and when I say to you, I need you, and when I say to you, I thank you, I am not saying it just to a man or just to a woman or just to a friend. I am saying it to the God that I believe lives in that envelope of human flesh that we call a body. And when I touch a human being, I know who I touch. That's my way of remembering where God is. God isn't somebody who's hiding from me. My God is always present to me. And a human being, for me, any human being, is a reminder that God is everywhere. That's why I'm not afraid of God, because I love you. Think about that as we take a short break on this final gift of the Holy Spirit and listen to a message from Eternal Word Network. As I look into this lens again and I see all of you out there miniaturized, wherever you are, I know who you are. I said before that I see Christ in you. And you might wonder, how can I see Christ in someone who believes in Buddha? Very simple. as long as I know who I'm dealing with, that's the important thing. You know, I've heard it said so many times by all missionaries in their great zeal for evangelization that they're going to bring Christ to the pagan. You know, in many ways, that's a very colonial attitude. You know where Christ is? You know where God is? He's everywhere. But the Christ that you and I know is not always consciously in the minds and hearts of people. I feel that a missionary doesn't bring Christ. He makes Christ real in their lives. He's already there. And make people more conscious of what the Christian dimension is, not by bringing it from a foreign country to another country, but by making it alive where he already is. I believe Christ is there in these people, even if they don't know it, even if they're unconscious of it. And my role as a priest is to make that person aware of how precious he is, that he's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that God is always present. And so as we come back to this final gift, the fear of the Lord, I like to summarize a little bit. What happens when we really use this gift of fear of the Lord? Holy Spirit, help me always to be aware of your presence wherever I am. This is what will happen in your life and mine. If I am aware of the presence of God, if I use the gift of fear of the Lord, I will do the right thing at the right time to the right person, whether that person is God, my neighbor, or myself. If I am aware of the presence of God, if I use the gift of fear of the Lord, I will get to know my God better. I will read his autobiography with more intensity. If I'm aware of the presence of God, I will get to know my neighbor better. I will get to know myself better. If I'm aware of the presence of God, if I use the gift of fear of the Lord, I will get to understand my God better. I will get to understand my neighbor better. And I will get to understand myself better. If I'm aware of the presence of God, if I use this final gift of fear of the Lord, I will say the right thing at the right time to the right person, whether that person is God, my neighbor, or myself. And I will listen more intently to my God as he speaks to me every day. I will listen more intently to my neighbor, my fellow companions in this world, more intently than ever before. If I'm aware of the presence of God and I use the gift of fear of the Lord, I will do the things I know I should, but which I'm afraid to do because of what somebody else will say. If I'm aware of the presence of God, I will pray to him the way he wants me to pray to him. If I'm aware of the presence of God and I use the gift of fear of the Lord, I will offer worship to the Father, not looking for something I will get, but only looking for what I can give the Father in, with, and through Christ. What I've just done is gone full circle. Fear of the Lord and wisdom. And that's why the Bible says it better than I ever could. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There you have it. Seven magnificent gifts, all wrapped up in a nice package. The gift, primary gift, is the Holy Spirit. And he comes with these seven gifts. As we said in the beginning of all these talks, all I pray for is I want you to take the ribbon off I want you to take the wrappings off these gifts and use them every day. And the dimension of the quality of your life will rise to a level you never really ever expected could happen. Not because I say it, but because Christ said it. The one thing I want to get across as I close out these talks is that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Consoler, the source of inspiration for all our lives, is already here. All we have to do is activate Him by calling on Him. And before I close, I would like to share with you a story. And then share with you a prayer. I think you've all heard of St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a very great saint in Ireland and in many parts of the world. Where he was born, I don't think anybody really knows for sure, but the Irish maintain he was born there. But at least at some time in his life, he spent time in Ireland as a slave. He left Ireland, became a priest, and then a bishop, and came back to Ireland with 9 companions. And his whole goal was to convert the island of Ireland. And so he had one convert. His very first one was a young boy called Benignus. But because he knew the customs of the island, he wanted to make a great impression. He wanted Christ to be known, to be recognized. So what he did was go to the top of Tara Hill. On the night of darkness, the Druid priests of Ireland had made the law universal. Anyone who would light a fire during the night of darkness was to be executed. Patrick knew that. And so on the night of darkness, which was in time the same as the night of Easter, he went to the top of Tara Hill, and he got all the brush and brambles together. And when all of Ireland was in darkness, he lit the fire. The Druid priests in the valley saw it, and they came out to kill this man who had broken the law. And for whatever reason, the imposing stature of Patrick stopped them. They did agree, though, that he could come down the next morning and have a disputation with the Druid priests. The Druid priests were not about to let this guy come down off the hill and change their whole religion. So what they did was they set up 3 ambushes along the road from Tara Hill down into the valley. 3 ambushes. The next morning, Patrick, his 9 companions, and the young boy start off. And on the way down, he said a prayer. The prayer that has come down to us from the 5th century. And when he got down to the bottom, came that very famous incident with the shamrock, 3 persons in 1 God. Afterwards, the Druid priests called in the bands of ambushers and said, "Where and how did you let these men and the boy come through? Didn't you see them? There's only 1 road down the hill." And he said, or the men of the ambush said, "All we saw were 10 men, 10 deer, and 1 fawn." And that's why in Ireland, this prayer is called the Deer Cry. And for those of you who've been with me these last few times, I'd like to share with you that deer cry, that prayer. Some people call it the breastplate of St. Patrick. But I think in many ways, this prayer sums up everything we've talked about. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through a belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today in the strength and the love of the cherubim, in the obedience of angels, in the service of archangels, in the hope of a resurrection to meet with reward. I arise today in the prayers of the patriarchs, in the prediction of prophets, in the preachings of apostles, in faith of confessors, in innocence of virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I arise today through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning. I arise today in the swiftness of the wind, the depth of the sea, the stability of the earth, and the firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's hosts to save me, from the snares of the devil, from temptation of vices, from everyone who desires me ill, afar or near, alone or in the multitude. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left.